When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sign him to a long-term deal, then this is what you do.
I mean, dude, if you're going to be a great quarterback in this league, you got to be able to handle stuff like this. There's going to, even if your offensive line is exactly who you want it to be, they're going to have bad days. People are going to break through the line. They're going to get you. You got to go play football and keep yourself safe. And he has largely, except for one time, which I would argue was pretty circumstantial, but he's done.
Missed the game this year too with the shoulder.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just football. Like, as far as the catastrophic injury thing, I think he knows how to take care of himself on the football field. And, but I get your point. Let's also add that Kyle said today it is very likely that they will shut Dre Greenlaw down for the remainder of the year. And
thank
if he's
God.
Saying that that's likely, I don't know why he phrases it that way. That means that's what they're doing. They're shutting Dre Greenlaw down for the rest of the year, and they should.
Well, then I would like to see them immediately come out and announce a contract extension for Dre Greenlaw, because
I think they got to negotiate that first.
Well, it shouldn't be that difficult.
It should. Dre's probably got something to say about it.
Fine, but I don't know how much leverage he has where he's played. He played about not even three quarters of football this year. He played a half, got hurt, played a couple of series and got hurt. And, you know, I guess there would be some sort of a market out there for a guy.
Yeah,
but
like the intrigue is that when he went out there against the Rams, Kyle's words, he was the best player on the field.
No, he was phenomenal.
He was fantastic.
I was in the press box eating, and you were getting soaked with lovely Christy.
Yeah.
That host is wet.
Take it easy now.
It was rainy.
Yeah. I
don't normally work blue around the holidays.
Anyway.
That's untrue.
No, totally. Anyway, point is, someone would be interested. You're right that it's going to depress the money. I don't think there's a huge money deal for him because of the concerns over this. But the talent is there, and it immediately flashed. So it's more, to me, it's not a question of you know, ability. It's a question of what's the doctor project? What do the doctors say?
This news to me indicates that they are going to sign him and there's some sort of a handshake deal in place. Because if I'm Dre Greenlaw and I'm unsure about my future in the NFL, I would want to go out there and put some more good tape out there. And, you know, the 49ers, they don't have to play him. But if he's at all questionable, if this was a playoff game, I think Trent Williams would be playing.
I think you're probably right.
I think Drake Greenlaw would be playing.
That one I don't know.
I don't know the severity of it. It's pretty scary,
coming off Achilles, that he's gone out there twice and played about a quarter, and both times the legs have not started feeling good.
Right, and the report is this is the other side. And
it so is. It's the calf on the other side.
Last year he had the right Achilles flare up, and then he blew out the left one, and then the left one got repaired, and now he comes back, and it's the right one again, which is the same one that was kind of flaring up last year before the left one went.
So
you're right.
Yeah. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Anthony Slater is going to be on with us in less than 45 minutes. And there is a Warrior game tonight, and there is plenty to discuss there. Shooty Babbitt is also going to come on the show later today. And if those of you are out there and you would like to, before we all head for the hills for the holidays, I know it was a very, very emotional day, especially in the East Bay this weekend with the all too soon passing of Ricky Henderson. And everyone has stories and perspective to share. We're here for you. There's going to be plenty of time for that. And so if you would like to express something, a memory, or anything about Ricky Henderson. We're going to have some time for that here real soon, coming up in probably about 15 minutes or so. So we would like to invite all of you to do that. Steel Toe in San Mateo is next up on the line. What up, Steel Toe? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Just enjoying my afternoon. Thank you so much, Mark and Diz. I love the conversation, but it's we're going to kind of reveal a harsh reality. Even if you pay Brock or whatever, I think the secret's out. They're not going to make the playoffs next year if they come bring back Brock Purdy.
Why do you think that, Steel Toe?
The reason why Brock Purdy was doing well was because he was a new quarterback and they didn't know his tendencies. Now they know his tendencies. They don't throw the ball deep and he has a bad offensive line. So the secret is kind of out. It's kind of like the comic book hero Superman. Mm. Superman is unbelievable, but once you know he has kryptonite can kill him, a little kid with a slingshot could kill Superman.
Still, so can I ask you a question? You said that he's got a bad offensive line, so the secret is out. Well, what if they came back with a good offensive line? Wouldn't that then mean that the secret is not out?
He needs to have the deep ball throw to catch the defense.
He doesn't throw the ball deep. Kyle Shanahan doesn't do that. Well, but the data suggests that this year that's not accurate. Steel Toe, like Dan was just saying a little bit ago, that he thinks Brock's throwing it downfield too much this year.
Dan?
It's my last chance to do that this year. Sorry.
They're not doing it correctly, and he doesn't have chemistry with his deep ball. The deep ball guy is Brandon Ayuk. And so he's not doing it well. It's either Kyle Shanahan needs a stronger arm quarterback, or change and change his offense, or get a new get a whole new coach. And I like Dick Vangio. I want the Super Bowl winner defensive coordinator. Whoever wins this Super Bowl, that's the defensive coordinator I want as our head coach. It's got to change. The whole secret is out. Everybody knows their kryptonite.
Okay. Yeah, Steel Toe. Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's actually eighth in the league in intended air yards per pass attempt, which means how far the ball flies in the air when you intend to throw it past the line of scrimmage, which is a little down from last year. But in terms of completions in air yards, he's number two behind Sam Darnold.
Yeah. And I also think that the reason they're not throwing, if you're not liking the way things look downfield, it would be the lack of speed receivers. And you can certainly put that on the 49ers philosophically and in terms of who they have picked, and add in the Brandon Ayuk injury if you want. But I don't think that we can grab all of those factors that he just threw out there and say, switch the quarterback, switch the coach, and then you'll come back and things will be great. In fact, conceptually, what about this? He said, I want to hire whoever is the Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. All right. I personally, in this day and age of the NFL, I would never hire a defensive-minded head coach. Wouldn't do it. Period. I flat out look around the league, and I'm not saying you can't do it, but I'd argue that the majority of the good coaches and the majority of the teams that are playing really well are offensive-minded people. Go around the league. LaFleur, offense. O'Connell, offense. Dan Campbell, played tight end. Andy Reid, offensive play caller. Jim Harbaugh, played quarterback.
John Harbaugh. Special teams.
Yeah, a little bit of both there. Sean McDermott.
Mike Tomlin, defense.
Is defensive-minded, but I'd argue that Sean McDermott has been an underachiever. Like, Sean McVay looks like he's going to win the division again somehow. Give me an offensive-minded head coach, because that's what is working more often than not right now in the NFL.
For me, it just depends on how you want to construct it, and I think Dan Campbell's a great example. And yes, he played tight end, but he's neither the offensive nor the defensive coordinator.
Right, he's neither. That's true.
He is Dan Campbell. We're going to bite a kneecap, and whatever he's doing, it works. And I was telling you about a family friend who's on the staff, and I look forward to seeing him this weekend down at Levi's. And you know, what he's telling me about what's going on in that building is I mean, they are loving it. And yes, when you win, it's easy to love.
Sure, sure.
So I don't think that every coaching staff has to be cut out the same way. And the thing about Kyle Shanahan, and I've said this now for weeks and weeks, I would like him to get some help. Doesn't mean he has to give up play calling. Doesn't mean he has to give up head coaching duties. But I think that he's taking on too much in terms of game management, offensive play design, play calling, and the rest of it. I see things that are slipping through the cracks this year that don't have to be that way.
A little bit over a half hour, Anthony Slater is going to join us. Slates. Also, I want to tell you it's time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors on Saturday, that win in Minnesota, 16 three-pointers. That means it's another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco, and that is the sixth donation of the season for Triples for Autism. Steph Curry led the way. He hit 7. Buddy Hield had 3. Pods and Kuminga, 2 apiece. Throw in a couple from others, and bang, that's enough for another Pettinelli donation to the Autism Society San Francisco, and another opportunity tonight with the Pacers in town here at Chase Center to make a donation to autism yourself or to get involved. Go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. Also, Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. I bet you have a thing or two you'd love to say about Ricky Henderson.
Oh, so much.
Yeah.
So much to talk about with Ricky.
Yeah, let's do that, because this one is not just sad for all the reasons when we lose someone who means a lot to us. This one really caught us all off guard. He's 65 years old.
Yeah.
And seemingly was in great health, and it was only, a number of weeks ago that he's out there at the departure of the Oakland A's, still giving those fans one last laugh or one last smile.
Yep.
Such an original. One of those people that did some things that if it was someone else doing it, it might be a turnoff a little bit. Like, not everybody can talk in the third person and have it come off as something that's like really engaging, but this guy did that.
Right, and just the way he was as an athlete, just such an elite athlete, and to be able to play for your hometown team, not once, twice, three times, but 4 times he was an Oakland A. You play 24 years in Major League Baseball, and I was just looking at some of his numbers to try to put it into some perspective. And
numbers are numbers. What'd you find?
He stole 100 bases as a 39-year-old. He was 39, and he stole 100 bases.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about the stolen base now, and they had to make the bases bigger, and they had to limit throws over just to kind of promote steals again in Major League Baseball. And this guy, you know, would go out there, the man of steel, as they called him, and he just took it to a whole nother level. And then you add in the piece about being a leadoff power threat, which nowadays, oh yeah, you got to put your best hitter, your power guy, number one. They were doing that with Ricky Henderson because you get on base and steal a base, but he was like the original leadoff power hitter in Major League Baseball.
I think the number was 81. 81 times he led off the game with a home run.
That sounds about right. Still holds the record, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, he does. He does. Would you like to share a story about Ricky Henderson? Would you like to share what he meant to you, what he might have done for you at a certain time? This is right up our alley in our age bracket, too, because it was one of the first baseball cards I wanted when I started collecting at age 6 in 1981. I can still remember the baseball card. It was the Topps cards that had the little hat in the bottom right-hand corner,
yeah.
And on the hat was the name of the team, and then the position, and then to the left there was just the name of the player. And Ricky, that year, just had an up-close picture of his face. That's it. It was not an action shot. You couldn't even see the A's uniform. It was just Ricky. And I just had started collecting, and that one was a hard one to get, man. And I really, really wanted that card. And anything memorabilia-wise that came in Ricky Henderson was a big part, even as a Giants fan, of growing the game within me. He was a special, special guy. If you've got anything that you'd like to say about Ricky Henderson, we would love to share some things, and we would love to hear from you. Coming up next at 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
888-957-9570 if you'd like to share something about Ricky Henderson. Whether it's a story or just what he meant to you. I think one of the best things you can say about Ricky, there's two things that pop to mind today, and one of them is incredibly fresh. I'll start with just, again, my experience, which is Ricky was an original. It was very obvious right away when you watched him play baseball, oh, we're looking at something that's a little bit different here. And my fear as a little league player to try to go out there and do what we always do as little league players, which is mimic the greats of the game. My fear of doing the snatch catch was that I was going to pull the glove back a little bit too early and get hit in the face by the ball. That was my concern. But we're all out there trying it, man. And Ricky made us do that. Ricky made us try a batting stance where it looked like we were doing a yoga pose. And we're going to get down there and see if we could actually make that thing work. And Ricky was bat flipping before there was bat flipping. And there was all those things. But the second thing, Dibs, is I was really struck by listening to people call Steiny and Goo today and hear not what they were saying, but how they were saying it. It was one caller after another that almost had a hard time getting through the call because their voice is starting to quiver and they're reliving their childhood right here on 95.7 The Game. And I thought to myself, man, I don't know what happens to you after you pass away. I really don't. But Ricky would be really touched by this. Listening to people not just talk about, ooh, he could turn a walk into a double, but people just talking about talking to him and realizing that thinking of him was taking them down memory lane to a simpler time and all of the things that we always think when we're 50 and we used to be 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of what, and so that just, it really struck me today.
And it struck me in a number of different ways, and listening to the callers made me think a lot about just Oakland and the pride of Oakland and the fact that, you know, he moved here when he was 2, and so he basically was from Oakland and, you know, was Oakland high school kid, Oakland Tech, and became one of the great Oakland legends. And one thing about living in Oakland for more than 20 years is there's a certain amount of civic pride in Oakland about, you know, our own people who are from there, who go on and do great things, especially when they go on and do great things back in Oakland. And so there was a tremendous amount of just Oakland pride around Ricky Henderson. And for me, living there for 25 or so years, there's a number of different haunts, venues, where I and some of my good friends would go out for an afternoon or an evening cocktail. And occasionally you'd be out and about and you'd look over and you'd look again. And you'd go, oh, my God, that's the greatest of all time. And he would just be sitting among the people because he was a man of the people. And there were a couple times where a pool table turned into a crap table. And, you know, Ricky would be in there holding court with a collection of 3 or 4 other people, some of the people who I became friends with over the years. And, you know, to say that he didn't put on airs is understating just exactly what a man of the people he was in Oakland. You know, just going to any of these various spots, and not only is he fitting in, but he's just one of the fellows. It was never like, I'm Ricky Henderson and I'm this or I'm that. He was just a dude. And so you go up to him and you say hello to him, and you don't even have to worry about autographs or any of the rest of the nonsense. It's just Ricky, and he was just a friendly guy. And so I wouldn't say I got to know him, but I was able to hang out with him a few times, and it's like, this guy's an unbelievable treasure.
Yeah, I never had that honor, that lucky moment, or whatever. I never met the man, but a lot of people share the exact same kind of vibe that you just shared, and so that's always, to me, I'm going to believe that. You know what I mean? Like when I hear people, person after person after person after person, say this is who he was, if you ever got the chance to run into him or talk to him, I'm going to hold that in real high regard, man, because that tells you who a person really was, not in the moments that we see in the public eye, in the moments that we don't see in the private eye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's hard to really make a compare and contrast. But for example, you know, if you talk about Barry Bonds, and Barry doesn't have really the ability or I think the wherewithal to be like that.
Yeah.
I think that he's warmed to people.
It's better now.
It is better. And I've heard a lot of reports from people who are encountering Barry. And I know you've seen Barry out and about.
Yeah.
And I do think that he's made strides to be more approachable and more of a regular guy. But it just speaks to Ricky even more because he was unaware of any other way other than just being Ricky.
I thought of doing, you may already have it in front of you. You may be the expert that can do this. Lucas, do you have the game show music up? Do you, can you name the nine teams that Ricky played for?
Oh boy.
Just thought I'd throw, I wanted to throw that out, out of the clear blue. Nine baseball teams now, and that does not mean the A's are four of them, because that's just one. Like, nine different uniforms that Ricky wore.
Yeah.
Dibs.
Well, the A's for sure.
Yep.
And the Yankees.
Yep.
Those are the easy ones, obviously.
Ding, ding.
He won a ring with Toronto, I know that.
Ding.
I recall him being a Padres.
Ding, twice.
Twice with the Padres.
Yeah.
Now is when we get into a little bit of the deep
water.
Now
we're getting into the weeds.
I mean, it's almost easier to think about teams he didn't play for,
still
such as
one, two,
the Marlins
three,
and the Rays. I don't think
five,
he played for.
So you've got four. There's five more.
Oh,
there's
man.
Five more that he played for.
Was he a Dodger?
Ding. Finished his career in 03 with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I remember him being a Mets. He was a Mets for sure.
1999 to 2000.
I know Reggie Jackson was an Angels, so I'm going to guess the Angels.
1997, ding.
Oh, man.
Two more.
Two more?
No pressure. This is going great, dude.
This is going great. Dude, you're 7 for 7.
You know this never ends well. I actually heard a caller earlier today tell a story about him up in Seattle, and I'm going to assume he wasn't a visiting player during that story. I'm going to say the Mariners.
8 for 8, year 2000.
Oh,
one more to go. And because you grew up and still live in the East Bay, your East Bay ties are clear. I'm going to give you no strikes. You got to sweep this sucker. You're here. There's one team. Can you name it?
Well, I'm looking ahead into the new year on a high note, Mark.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say it. Texas Rangers. Cuckoo! You can put it on. Oh, no!
I'm sorry.
One was enough.
That
was unnecessary.
That's
Thank
a great
you.
Inside joke. Or for some of you, spend your life
video.
On Instagram, maybe you know that joke. Anyway, no, 2002, the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox, ladies
Damn
and gentlemen.
It. All right.
Now, there's a reason I brought this up. Thank you for the music, Lucas.
Other than to make me feel bad?
No, there's a reason I brought...
So
do,
close.
Do y'all know, and I admit, like a terrible job of telling this story, but I know enough about it to sort of at least paraphrase the story.
Okay.
I bring up all the different uniforms he wore because of the John Olerud story. Do you know the John Olerud story? Jim Rome used to tell this story all the time.
The dude who wore a helmet in the field.
Thank you. John Olerud used to play first base. And I actually am not smart enough to know all of the reasons why John Olerud used to wear a helmet in the field. So I may even get the teams wrong, but I think it was when he was with the Mets. John Olerud was the first baseman. And Ricky got into a conversation about John wearing a helmet in the field. And it was kind of like, yo, that's weird. What are you doing, dude? Why do you wear a helmet in the field? And he explained himself or whatever. But the funny thing was, is he said, Ricky, I don't know if you noticed, like, yes, I wear a helmet in the field the same way I used to. Actually, no, this is what Ricky goes. Hey, that's funny that you wear a helmet in the field. I used to play with a guy in Toronto who did that. And John was like, Ricky, that was me. And by the way, I played with you in San Diego also.
Oh, my God.
Three times teammate. Three different cities where they were teammates together. And on the third one, Ricky comes up and goes, dude, what's up with the helmet? I used to play with a guy who did
that.
That
is so funny. That's perfect.
Which is quintessentially...
No doubt.
Ricky Henderson.
No doubt. It just... Such an unbelievable talent, a unique talent, and guy who played 24 seasons in Major League Baseball. And I mentioned earlier that he had a monster year at 39. He led the league in stolen bases as a 39-year-old. Didn't have 100, but he had 69 that year at 39 to lead Major League Baseball. Just an unbelievably gifted athlete and a guy who could have possibly gone on to play college, if not pro football. He was that good of an athlete, and just an all-around phenomenal guy, and it just hits you. And I was thinking earlier today about Vita Blue, and we lost Vita, and that was, I thought it was this year. That was last March, so that's been now
coming up on 2 years,
right? Jeez. And then we're gonna talk to Shooty Babbitt later today. Shooty's a guy who I know a little bit, and he's a perfect guy to talk to give greater perspective of, you know, life in the 80s with the Oakland A's and certainly Ricky Henderson.
That was a different time, man. Oakland A's were coming out of the 70s, going into the 80s.
Right.
They were the jam.
Yeah.
They were the big dog.
And also just, you know, back at that time to have so many more African Americans playing baseball.
Yep.
And a team with Dave Smoke Stewart.
Sure.
And, you know, Shooty played a year with the A's, and of course Ricky Henderson as well. And
I'm trying to think of who else was that. Like, I might be moving more into the late 80s when Ricky wasn't there anymore, but I'm thinking of Tony Phillips. I'm thinking of Mike Davis.
Mike Norris is another one.
Dave Henderson obviously had his time with the A's and the Angels. Yeah, man. Just a completely different time. And for this to happen now, literally just months after the A's dropped the curtain on their time in Oakland, you look back at that and you're like, good Lord. Like, there was no way to know what the next 30 years were going to hold for that organization. And if you are a newer fan to the Bay, and if you are a baseball fan, and if the A's thing kind of broke your heart, I wish you could have seen that. And that's coming from a Giants fan, man.
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen that, because the idea that that's where the Oakland A's franchise was headed was unthinkable at that time.
Right. And it even going, you know, after the 3 years where they went to the World Series, three straight years, and Ricky was on that 89 team. He actually came back mid-year from the Yankees. And Dave Parker, another name, Stan Javier on that team. I'm looking at the Baseball Reference now just to refresh myself, but 88, 89, and 90, they go to the World Series three straight years. Ricky wasn't on all three, but if you looked at that, those teams at that time and where the Giants were in 92, where they're threatening to go to St. Pete, and it wasn't until, Peter McGowan. I almost said Bruce McGowan because my radio brain, but thank you, Peter McGowan and the Safeway folks basically saved the Giants. But at that time, 30 years ago, the Giants were drawing what the A's have been drawing of late, almost like 5,000 a night, and the A's were drawing 3 million.
And that's coming off of they were 3 years removed from going to the World Series.
The Giants were,
The Giants were.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the stadium was, you know, a tough visit unless you were really, really into it.
Yeah, Candlestick, you're talking.
Candlestick, yeah. Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah.
It was freaking cold, man. Used to give you a button if you made it to the end of a long game.
The quaddy candlestick.
Yeah, they'd give you something. They're like, good. Can't believe you stayed to the end. Here, have a present.
Yeah. And I wasn't old enough to remember the swinging A's of 72, 3, and 4 when they won three in a row. But in the 80s, that was kind of my peak years. And the A's were the thing. And we would go all the time to A's games. We were a National League household, but my friends and I, you go out to the East Bay and you watch Ricky and you watch Stu and Steinbach and, you know, McGuire and Canseco and Carney Lansford and all the other personalities that were, you know, larger than life. And Ricky was the guy who was at the center of all of it.
Man, and as I said earlier, too, I think that I don't know if anybody either relates to this or even cares about this, but a bit like when I had free time as a kid, we all did the same thing. We got on our bikes and we rode down to, there was a complex that in Foster City that was a Safeway and a Long's. They were right next to each other. Long's ended up being my first job. I worked there, but we would ride to the Safeway on our bikes, and that was like the outing that our parents would let us go do. That's about as far as we could go on our own. And we would ride down there and get baseball cards and then ride back. And we would sit down on the edge of the curb and open them up and find out what we got. And Ricky just comes to mind, man, because that was like 1981, 1982, age 6, age 7, age 8. And good Lord, you should see how many cards I have from those years. That's all we did every day, every weekend. It was, let's go get baseball cards. And Ricky was unequivocally one of the top players in the game at that time. And so he was one of about five or six names of who you really wanted. Who you really, like when you open that thing up, get the bubble gum out of the way, that's who you really, really wanted. And I was always looking for those rookie cards. So that's just for me, again, that's my entry point as someone who didn't go to a lot of A's games, some A's games, but a Peninsula kid and a Giants fan, still had the utmost entertainment from and respect for someone like Ricky Henderson.
I'm looking at that baseball card right now. It's the Topps 1981.
Yes.
Green hat. It says outfield A's and then the name in the lower right. And he looks to be wearing just a...
like a practice, like a pullover or something,
it's
right?
It's like a green shirt.
Yeah.
It's like just a collared shirt.
Yeah.
Like if he was working at a construction site, he's got a chain underneath and a T-shirt, and the card is basically his giant face and
head. Kind of a magenta or pinkish outline.
Yeah, it's like a blue.
Card. Yeah. Yeah,
maybe you're thinking the 82, but either way, like all these old baseball cards, it definitely brings you back because I'm looking at the 82 Ricky Henderson, and it's him in uniform leading off of first base with his classic hands down in front of him, and you know the fingers would wiggle, and you knew he was going to go. And
Ricky
pitcher and the catcher
That's
knew.
What he used to tell the first baseman. Ricky gone.
And there's no way you're going to get him.
Nope.
So it was pretty much automatic that he was going to steal that bag.
I love it. I love it. All right, man. Really, really just, yeah. You know, our thoughts gone too soon. And to the family, to the fans, to baseball fans of that era, you know, thoughts with everyone and everything today, especially his birthday was on Christmas.
Yeah.
His birthday was coming up here on Wednesday. He was to be 66 years old. All right, we're going to get ready for Anthony Slater and go through some of the Warriors stuff that really needs talking about, especially with them coming up with a home game tonight right here on 95.7 game against the Indiana Pacers. But before we do that, by the time we've got Warrior basketball, we are going to be knee-deep in Monday Night Football. And you are now officially not hot.
I know.
You picked the Niners over the weekend.
Stupid.
That's a big fat L. But today you bounce back?
Question mark?
Let's find out.
It's time for...
Say the Divers.
Please explain.
Nostradivus gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, kids, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Well, the spread is bigger than Texas tonight as the Green Bay Packers are hosting the New Orleans Saints. Somebody will play quarterback. We have no idea who. The weather looks cold, but certainly manageable tonight. The spread, like we said, is big. It's two touchdowns and a little bit more. 14.5. The Packers are favored. Dan?
Well, my picks this week have stunk. I'll be fair and honest with you.
Yeah,
four wins, 10 losses, and one push in my pick'em pool hasn't gone well for me. And, you know, this is one of those times when I should look at the pick I made and go against it, but I won't. And yet I looked at the pick that I've already made and I thought, what the hell are you thinking? Because I look at these teams and Green Bay is far, far better. And New Orleans is going to be quarterbacked by a guy named Rattler. And if your quarterback is going to be rattled, Spencer Rattler, he's a guy who gets rattled very easily. On the road, outdoor, I don't like your chances. Take the Saints and the points.
Wait.
The pick is in.
Oh.
Wait.
The pick I made is the Saints.
You're taking the Saints?
After that?
And 14.5.
The whole buildup.
He's going to get rattled.
Like, the Saints are terrible. Right. They're nowhere near as good. He's going to get rattled. Take the Saints?
I locked it up.
What are we doing?
Hey.
Of points.
Yeah, it is. It's too many points for an NFL game, but this is the right spot to do it.
Yeah. I mean, New Orleans defense has been pretty good for the majority of the year.
Yeah.
And
All right.
You look at the EPA numbers in there. They're
EPA.
Pretty good.
What
Not BPA.
What does East Palo Alto got to do with this?
Expected points added.
Who cares?
Spencer Rattler going to get rattled cuckoosh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they're going to lose 31-17. 31-17 to cover.
They're not scoring 17. They're scoring zero.
Yeah, you're dreaming.
I need them to score zero.
You need multiple pick sixes.
Or fumble rumbles.
Block punts.
Yeah.
Do block punts count?
Yeah, do we have special teams in our little ditty, Lucas?
Yeah. It, really? Defense slash special teams.
Okay, so what if they return a punt for a touchdown?
Sure.
That, okay.
That's six.
All right. All right. Cuckoosh.
Yep. There you go.
Whatever.
It's going to get rattled.
All right. Like, we should probably get ready to discuss this with Anthony Slater, our good friend, our Warrior insider, The Athletic. The coverage is great. After the game on Saturday, and Steve Kerr had said, hey, young players, you play with Steph. Pass the ball. And then Brandon Pajemski said this.
When I'm out there, I'm open, I shoot it. If not, I make play. I don't really look too much into, you know, I know we have Steph Curry on the court, and if he's open, I'm going to throw the ball to him. But, yeah, I don't really look too deep into those messages.
Yeah, but then you did look too deep into it, because this ended up, that comment right there called for a follow-up, lengthy Instagram post about all the, oh, boy. And so right now, the idea of trading young players momentarily feels like the momentum is at an all-time high. But let's find out. Let's talk to Anthony and get some of the intel. Shooty Babbitt is going to join us shortly after 5 o'clock as well. So plenty on Ricky Henderson. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibs.
Across the timeline, Curry weaving behind Jackson Davis, uses him as a moving shield, pass to Jackson Davis, left corner Wiggins, up top Schroeder, pass to Curry, topside triple, yes! He got another one! 107-96, the Warrior bench explodes out of the floor, and Stephen Curry has words of Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays for the crowd here at the Target Center.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Steph. Yeah, it's Willard, but whatever. You can call me whatever you want. You're Steph. I get it. When Steph's on your team, you pass the ball, dude. Don't worry about what he's doing, okay? Before Anthony Slater joins us, can we let our audience hear, if you didn't hear what Steve Kerr had to say, and this is after victory now.
Right.
After the victory in Minnesota, here's Steve Kerr.
You know, I love the possession where Steph got off the ball and we went swing. You know, I think he threw it to either Trace or Gary in the pocket. Swing to Wiggs. Wiggs swings it to Dennis. It comes back to Steph. That's the game right there. And that's what we're trying to impart on our young players. You know, we have Steph Curry on our team. You know, so pass the ball. Move the ball. And if Steph gets off it early because he's gained an advantage, now the defense is scrambling. And this is how we've played for 10 years. And it's important for our young players to understand we don't need contested 17-footers with 12 on the shot clock, right? That's a bad shot. And I talked to our guys about that during several timeouts. It's something we have to recognize and get better with. And when you have Steph Curry on the team, you pass the ball. Because pass it two or three times, the defense is scrambling, all hell breaks loose. So it's a choice. We can either do that and win games, or we can shoot, you know, a whole bunch of 15-foot contested shots in the middle of the shot clock and be a lousy NBA team. It's up to us, and we are hammering that point home with our team.
Ooh, okay, so how do Pods and Kuminga take that? What does it all mean? Let's hang with our guy, our Warrior insider, The Athletic, Anthony Slater, joins us on the River Islands guest line. Hey, happy holidays, Slates. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
We are doing great, man. What's that all mean? And you know, let's be real here. With all of the trade chatter, to hear something like that, I think it makes people wonder, what is the current frustration level, if you would use that word, with Steve Kerr with regard to his young players?
I am I got to talk to a cop real quick because I am driving and I'm right now outside the arena. Will you give me 1 second? Can I call you back?
You're darn right we will. Yeah. Okay, you tell that cop to listen to Willard and Dibs.
All you have to do is let him know it's Anthony Slater and you get right through. It's you play the Do You Know Who I Am card and it's...
Can you please turn that into a rejoin?
Have you guys...
That was incredible.
Has anyone ever been pulled over while calling a show you've worked?
Has anyone ever been pulled over?
No, because that's the first place my mind went. I thought he was getting pulled over.
Maybe he is. Or maybe he's pulling up to the arena and needs to speak to a security guard.
Definitely that.
So that he can get into the special Slates parking lot that he has for him.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's going to be. And I'm surprised he's even available at this late hour because, tip time is, 7 o'clock here? And so you'd figure he'd already be at the arena or he'd be...
We're just coming up on 5 o'clock here. Yeah, okay.
No, he's more than okay.
He's Slates.
Exactly.
He knows where he's going.
One of the best in the business. So you lock in on a Pacer game tonight. But your question's an interesting one about the frustration level because, that's something that it's a hard one to teach. But at the same time, these younger players have to understand it. It's not that you can't shoot a 17-footer. It's that early in the shot clock, we don't want to shoot a contested 17-footer. We want to give Steph at least one more opportunity to run around. And Steve even gave the example of, you get it in the pocket, and then it's a couple ball reversals, and it's moving around, and then Steph gets another chance to maybe be the guy to get involved.
I don't know that it's frustration, or is it not? Draymond Green was out. Kuminga still didn't start. Brandon Podziemski has been the subject matter of some frustrated press conferences already this year. So I don't know if those are the words, but let's first go live back out to Anthony Slater to find out if he's been arrested, ticketed, or if he's just in the parking lot. What's the answer, Slates?
I'm right outside the arena. No, I'm stopping to the side of the road to do the interview with you, but I guess I needed to get in a better parking spot.
This was like an airport type thing where it was like, move along, young man.
Yeah, these game nights, it gets a little wild out here.
So. I got it. All right, so back to the question at hand. How is Steve feeling about Kuminga and Pods and others right now?
Look, to me, and I'm probably going to ask him this when he talks in about, 25 minutes, whatever it is. I thought that was a Kuminga comment. I know that it was kind of painted. I think it was presented to Podziemski, so that's made it seem like it was more Pods. And, Pods at times this year has had questionable shot selection, but the 15-foot contested, shot is what Kuminga's been taking a lot of lately in an inefficient way. And that, to me, particularly seemed directed towards him, not Podziemski.
And even when you look at it in totality, is it a bigger issue with the team, or is it more focused on the younger guys? And I'm curious what you thought of Pods and his response on Instagram, because it sure seemed like Pods thought that comment was directed at him.
Yeah, well, I think he was asked about it in the press conference, and I think then he obviously had the answer, and I think that started its own little wildfire, and I think that had more people pointing the finger towards him, which, again, like you mentioned it, he's been roasted by name a couple times in press conferences this year, but I just didn't think that one was towards him. So I think it's, generally, like I said, I think that one was a Kuminga thing and how he's kind of played offensively lately, but this is what they, I think, kind of dragged themselves into with this two-timeline thing that we've been talking about now for, 3-4 years, but, you have young guys, particularly right now with Jonathan Kuminga, is trying to ascend in his career, figure out where he's going, get a big contract. We all know it's a contract year. We know what he wants to be as a player, and sometimes that doesn't, there's friction towards what the Warriors need him to be, right? They want him to be the Sean Marion, the just, sprint up and down the court and slash and never be featured offensively and just be a hustle wing. Well, he's not yet 29 years old. He's not yet. I always like the comparison of Aaron Gordon. Y'all remember Aaron Gordon on the Magic compared to Aaron Gordon on the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon got to explore what he was and what he wasn't in Orlando, and then eventually came to the point of I'm kind of an inefficient feature scorer. Hey, maybe I can go be a hustle defensive wing in Denver around Jokic. I think that's probably where Kuminga will be at 28, 29 years old, but he hasn't gotten the Orlando Magic opportunity, right, to figure out who he is and who he isn't in the league. And there's a belief from him. He works on his skills all summer to score. He wants to be a big 22 point per game type scorer in the league. And at times, especially when he maybe feels minimized and he's maybe not as a part of the group when he gets thrown on the court for 18 minutes. Some nights he's like, I'm just going to chuck some 18 footers. You know, I'm going to get my work in, and what happens the other night happened, and then Steve clearly voiced it.
Slates and Anthony Slater is with us. So it was probably it feels like it was about 10 days ago that you came on this station and said, we're going into information gathering season on Jonathan Kuminga. All right, what information have we gathered?
I thought that they pulled the rug out from under him way too, like, much quicker than I thought. And I do think that the Schroeder trade kind of initiated the rotation domino that sent him back to the bench. But, I mean, y'all heard the same press conference I heard, right, when they were like, you know, he's up next and we're about to feature him. And, like, what do you think a young guy like Kuminga thinks when he hears that? Like, oh, I'm about to get a runway. I'm finally going to get this opportunity. Wow. Draymond Green is saying he wants to step aside to see. And then how many games did he start, like 4 or 5? Which, by the way, I thought he was pretty good in. I mean, I think defensively at times you can say it was a question mark. But what did we learn about him? I mean, I think we learned that the Warriors really aren't ready to feature him. And maybe you could view it as it was this, you know, mini showcase that they were hoping would take hold better. But he went right back, you know, away from him. I mean, they've gone away from him now, and that probably won't help his trade value necessarily. But it's clear that they think that helps them win games on a nightly basis.
It probably doesn't help his confidence either. And I wonder, no, Anthony, if you think, just from a basketball style standpoint, if he's not the right fit. Because, you know, the cut we played coming in, Steve was talking about the ball, the movement, and the players, and the reversal, and the rest of it. Doesn't seem like his game fits that style. Does that ultimately become the biggest sticking point in Kuminga fitting with this team?
Yeah, well, you know, there are things he does that really fit what they do need, right? We know how much they need, like, athleticism, you know, rim pressure, downhill stuff, stuff that at times in certain games in his career, for long stretches, he has provided, right? I mean, you can see it tonight. If he comes out tonight and, you know, he's just like his fierce downhill self, or, you know, typically in a smaller lineup where he's playing the four, sometimes with Draymond at the five, he can really open the game up. And sure, he's not your traditional, you know, Steve Kerr loves the guy that he says has feel, and he's a connector, and, you know, he cuts. And, you know, sure, we all know, like, Jonathan Kuminga doesn't have that naturally within his game. He's not as natural a quick passer. But I don't think they should be giving up the type of talent that Jonathan Kuminga has, you know, on the cheap, because I do think when he's right and he's at his best, like, they need that. They need big wings who do stuff that he does, because they don't have a lot of it.
All right. So, Anthony, based on what you're saying, like, there's one thing that's your opinion, but your read on the Warriors suggests what with regard to Jonathan Kuminga and the next 6 weeks of our lives?
It feels like it's just going to be a continuation of the last 4 years, which is like, you know, there'll probably be nights where we feel like he's getting some momentum and, you know, Steve might play him, you know, 28, 32 minutes and he'll have some good games. We'll feel like, hey, you know, maybe it's a breakthrough. And then, you know, 2 games later, he's floating into the game for 18 minutes and grabbing one rebound. And you're like, you know, another 2 steps back, and we'll probably do this dance. My guess would be up and towards closer to the deadline. And, It'll feel pretty urgent around that situation to you know, figure out his future. And I think there's a decent chance, he's possibly moved at the deadline, but I think that would only be if